Why Are We Yelling? The Art of Productive Disagreement. This is the author, Buster Benson. Has this ever happened to you? You're doing something around the house, and things are a bit chaotic. You grab your lidded coffee cup from earlier in the day off the table and take a big swig. Too late, you realize that it must have been an old cup from a week ago that never got thrown away, because you can feel something too horrible to even consider floating in your mouth, and you spit old coffee all over yourself in revulsion. In my defense, this happened to me in college, and I have never looked at an unidentified coffee cup without suspicion since. Experiences, unlike intellectual arguments, can change your mind about something instantly and forever. Even if you haven't swallowed moldy coffee, that story probably still sparks some disgust and anxiety in you. Most of us have never received guidance about how to interpret these spikes of anxiety, and thus we often don't remember them or assign meaning to them. But we should, because these sparks are the blazing signposts that tell us that something important to us feels threatened. These signposts are unique to our personal histories, and as a whole, represent a map of our personal expectations, hopes, dreams, and disappointments about the world. Here are some examples of when expectations fall short of reality. Someone says they hate a movie, book, or song that you love. You put a ton of effort into something that ends up flopping. You learn that you're the last person to find out about a shocking family secret. Some of your foundational beliefs are challenged in a way that you aren't prepared for. You get caught doing something that you thought you'd get away with. You can't find a way out of an awkward social situation. Left unquestioned, each of these sparks of anxiety will dictate how we respond to the world like an invisible program. We'll misread people. We'll react incorrectly to new information. We'll try to force the world to meet our expectations rather than update our expectations to better fit the world. Given how little we know and how big the world is, this is almost always a recipe for more anxiety and ultimately failure. An old glass of water. One of the first surveys I ran when I was beginning the research that eventually led to this book, and a question I still like to ask people at parties, was about collecting a list of long-running arguments that people have gotten into over and over again. I was looking for the gnarly, twisty, recurring, never-ending arguments, the ones that people repeatedly fell into over the span of years, sometimes decades. These repeating arguments could be with significant others, family members, friends, or just random strangers on the internet. I was especially interested in the ones that seemed pretty trivial on the surface, but keep coming back again, because something about them taps into deeper emotions and parts of our beliefs and identities. I had a hunch then, and have since confirmed, that arguments live long lives in our heads. Sometimes they stick around for our whole lives, and we practice and refine them with different people at different times. Others are linked to specific relationships, especially with siblings and parents and spouses, and certain topics and perspectives become landmarks to return to over time in these interactions.